Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
One of the speakers that we heard at SLU 201 this last week was a gentleman by the name of Jeff Struecker. He's an Army Ranger, and he was in the Battle of Mogadishu, Cambodia. That was the battle that the movie Black Hawk Down was based on. And he led a three-vehicle convoy through dangerous streets, and he was under intense fire to rescue Ranger Private Todd Blackburn. And those of you that have seen that movie, that's just violent scenes that were going on. And when he spoke to us this last week in Washington, D.C., he described some of the vehicles that he was in. He described his outfit, his combat uniform, and all of that. And it was very striking for us to hear firsthand what it was like to be in that kind of battle. And it reminded us that the freedom that we have was not free, that there have been brave men and women that have stood up so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we have. And the reason I mention him as a speaker is we have been talking on these last weeks about being able to stand strong underneath the spiritual battle that we're in. And just as real as that battle is, and all the battles that are raging across our world are, the spiritual battle that we're in, each one individually, is equally as real. And so God has given us everything that we need to stand strong underneath that spiritual battle that we're in, and we've been investigating that by looking at Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about the full armor of God. So we're going to be reading a passage of scripture there. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be starting in verse 10 and reading this this passage of scripture about the armor that God has given us so that we can stand strong. If you found your place in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. We stand because the word of God is not like any other book. It's God's word for us that he miraculously has given us as a gift. And so we respect it and we live by it and we stand in honor of the reading of God's word. So this is Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." That's the battle that we fight. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you have given us everything for the spiritual battle that we are in. Father, help us to understand this battle. Help us to understand how we can stand strong and we can honor you. And Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During this series, we've seen that Satan is the deceiver. He lies to us and tempts us. And then once we fall to that temptation, he accuses us. And that was the second thing that we saw, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And so what we're talking about this morning, and this is number one on your message notes, is that Satan will attack your peace. Each one of us need peace in our life. We need peace with God and with others and within our families. When we were in Washington, D.C., it seemed like every other monument was, or every other thing was, a memorial to a war that our country had fought for the sake of peace. And we all need this peace personally within our family, in the relationships that we're in. We need peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others. And number one there on your message note, Satan attacks your peace. And under this attack, God has given us everything that we need to stand strong underneath that attack. So we're talking about the gospel of peace. During battle, if you can't stand, you can't win, is number two on your message notes. During battle, if you can't stand, you can't win. I was reminded when I was preparing for this of the of David and Goliath. You remember that fight? David was outmanned. Goliath was much bigger than he was. And he's standing there in the valley, and these two armies are looking. And David takes this smooth rock, and he throws it. He slings it at Goliath, and he knocks him down. And then what does he do? Goliath is on the ground. David, a much smaller man, goes over and what? Picks up Goliath's sword. And he probably had to use two hands to pick up Goliath's sword because it would have been a large sword. And what does David do? Cuts off Goliath's head. That's a pretty awesome scene right there. I mean, that's that hero scene that happens. David cuts off this sword, and I can imagine him just like holding it up. And he was victorious. The reason that Goliath fell right then was he was an enemy of God, of course, but practically in battle, it was because he was off his feet. He was down on the ground. And when you're down on the ground, you're vulnerable to this attack. And so he was able to cut off his head. And there's other examples. I don't know if any of you watch UFC, the battles that happen within the octagon. But when those things are happening, it's always when people are on their feet, they're safer and they're able to defend themselves and strike out against other people. But once they get on the ground, and once they're pinned on the ground and the person is just on top of them, hitting them in the head, the match is not going to last very much longer because they lost their footing. And how about this for a illustration? If you are a fan of Stranger Things on Netflix, that's right, I went there. And in season two, it's Steve Harrington that is getting a beat down by Billy. And he's in the house there of Will, and Billy is on top of him, and he's just striking him in the head over and over and over again. Some of y'all are wondering what Stranger Things is, and other people will remember exactly that scene, and that's okay. But once you're down off of your feet, you are vulnerable to the attack that happens. And so we see that if you can't stand, you can't win. And standing, and I was also reminded a little nicer illustration, when you're at the beach, many of us have gone to the beach over the summer, what happens when you stand in the surf? Right? You feel the waves going back and forth and you start sinking in. And depending on how the tide is and the sand is and all of that, sometimes you can sink in really far and you have to kind of get it's hard to get your feet out. And other times you don't go that deep. And that's an example of standing in one place and kind of sinking down and you don't have that firm foundation. And so what we have, and God has given us everything that we need to stand strong against the enemy's attack. And one of the things that he's given us is he has fitted our feet with the gospel of peace. Because if we don't have the right shoes and if we don't have the right foundation, then we will not be able to stand and we'll be like Goliath on the ground to where a much smaller, enemy. We'll be the person that's pinned, that's just getting beat down and beat down. And so God gives us everything that we need to stand strong. I want you to notice number three on your message notes, that the gospel prepares us for battle. For the Roman soldier, his feet were fitted with these thick sandals, and they had these hobnails that were like nails that went down from the bottom, and it made them ready for battle and enabled the soldier to stand in battle because he could stand his ground. If he couldn't stand, he couldn't win. And so the reader of this, and we understand what Paul is saying, is that the gospel is the foundation that we stand on. And if we don't have a firm foundation, if our feet are not fitted to stand, then we'll not be able to win. This also speaks about our readiness for battle. When you have the proper shoes on, you're ready for whatever is happening that day. I'm not a golfer, but I was thinking about the golfers in the room. There are special shoes that you have, from what I understand, so that when you're standing there, your feet can be firmly planted and you can stay balanced and you can hit the shots that you want to hit, or at least have the opportunity to take a swing at the ball without falling over. Think about the football player with his football cleats. That wide receiver can't run his path, can't run his route if he doesn't have the right shoes on. All of us have seen those games where it's raining or inclement weather and people are slipping down and they can't do what they need to do. You have to have the right shoes. And if there's anyone that knows anything about shoes, it's our ladies that are in the room. My wife Carol has a large selection of shoes for every occasion in various colors. I'm much simpler than that. I've got some tennis shoes, I've got these shoes, I've got my preaching boots that I like to wear, and that's pretty much it. But there's a certain thing for whatever you're doing. And so as we're fighting this battle, we can have our shoes fitted with the gospel of peace, and it prepares us for battle. And this is what God has given us so that we can stand strong underneath the enemy's attacks. And so we've used this word, the gospel, and the gospel needs to be defined. We need to understand what it is that God has given us in the gospel that prepares us for this battle. And as I was preparing for this, I found many definitions of the gospel, but the one that I liked the best was the Apostle Paul's definition of it, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When in doubt, always go with the Apostle Paul. So, listen to this verse here. It's there on your message notes under number 3. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Circle that word stand if you're taking notes, because we're talking about standing strong. This is where, as we receive the gospel, that's where we take our stand. By this gospel you were saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you, Paul says, as of first importance. This is very important. And this is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. Listen, the gospel is all about Jesus. It's about his life, his perfect life. It's about his death on the cross, and it's about his resurrection when he defeated death, hell, and grave. And it's that gospel by which we are saved from our sin and that we have a right relationship with God. Again, we talk about the gospel all the time here at First Baptist. This is the gospel that prepares us for battle. And just think about it. Before a person receives Christ and before they become a son or daughter of God, through the gospel, they're on the wrong team. They're on the wrong side. They're in the wrong army because they belong to the Lord of the air. They belong to Satan. But once someone says yes to Jesus, they are adopted into the family of God. They are enlisted into the army of God. And it's there that they find everything they need to fight these spiritual battles and to live a life that honors God. That's how the gospel prepares us. It becomes our firm foundation, like the song we were singing just a few moments ago talked about. The gospel is our firm foundation, who we are in Christ. We've been saved, we've been forgiven of our sins, we've been blessed with the Holy Spirit indwelling each one of us, and God gives us the spiritual armor. We're talking about the gospel of peace that prepares us for battle. And it talks about also readiness for battle. When you have the proper shoes on, you're ready. Now, this scene happens at my house all the time. We're trying to get everybody together, and the guys, we're sitting there waiting for our girls, and we wait. I mean, we don't have any other choice, really, than to wait. So we're waiting, and one of the last things that sometimes we hear is, okay, start loading up, and we hear this, hold on, I'm putting on my shoes. I mean, you know, that's the last thing. Everybody's kind of barefoot in the house. Hold on, I'm putting on my shoes. And so it's that, and sometimes that happens as they're kind of walking to the car. Their shoes are going on. They're getting ready for the day, getting ready for what's next. And so the gospel prepares us, and it makes us ready for this battle. And see, we need to understand that we, as children of God, we have the shoes of the gospel, our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel, and that's something that God has given us. And we have to take that and not just hold it in our hands, but we need to apply those to our life and put those shoes on so that we can stand strong. It would be a shame for us to go out and to try to go throughout the day without the proper footwear on. You know, some places you can't go in if you don't have shoes on, you know, no shirt, no shoes, no service kind of idea. It's just getting ready for what you have in front of you. And that's what the gospel does for us. It prepares us. It makes us ready for the day. Notice next, number 4 on your message notes, that the gospel brings peace. This isn't just any gospel. This is the gospel of peace that Paul is talking about. And the gospel brings this peace into our life in a supernatural way. This peace is a gift from God. It originates in God, and we receive it from God. And we have, first of all, peace with God. He offers us a way that we can be forgiven of the sin that stands before us in him, and that we can be forgiven, and we can have peace with God. Listen to Romans 5, 1 and 2. They're on your message notes. There's another word to circle, so follow along. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. That's what the gospel brings us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace, we now what? We now stand. Circle that word stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Listen, the gospel brings us peace. That was what I was missing as a 19-year-old young man. I didn't have a relationship with God, and I knew that there was something else. I didn't feel fulfilled. I didn't feel at peace with God. And so when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior and began to understand who I was in Christ, I understand that I was a person that had peace with God, that there was no longer this sin gap, there was no longer this chasm between me and my Heavenly Father, but that I could be reconciled back to God. Like this verse says, I could be justified just if I'd never done those sins. That he removes my sins as far as the east is from the west. And so this peace, this gospel brings this peace. It also brings peace with yourself. You know, sometimes we are our own worst critics and our worst enemies. We hold things that we've done, mistakes that we've made. We hold them in our minds and we dwell on them. Listen, through the gospel, that we can have peace with ourselves and we can let those things go. We can let the past be the past and the mistakes that we made in the past because God has forgiven them. Let's forgive ourselves. I wonder if that's not a clear word for someone in here this morning that just holds on to those mistakes of the past. God's forgiven us if we've taken to them because of the gospel, because of the cross. So if God's forgiven us, why don't we forgive ourselves and we can have peace with ourselves? Listen, that's needed. That's that inward peace that we need. We also need peace with others. And the gospel brings us this peace with others. If I'm okay with God and God has forgiven me, and if I'm okay with myself, I found a way to forgive myself for the things that I've done wrong, then that gives me the opportunity to be okay with others, that I can be at peace with others, that I can get along with others, that I can forgive others who have done things against me. We talked about that a little bit last week. Sometimes bitterness comes into our lives and into our relationships, and we hold grudges against other people. And listen, those grudges affect us more than they affect anyone else. It's like a sickness of our soul. And so we can have this vertical relationship with God, and we can have peace with God. As we look to our Heavenly Father, we can have peace. As we look inward, we can have peace with ourselves. And as we horizontally look to each other, we can live at peace one with another, even though we may not get along. One of the sessions that we had at SLU last week was we had this session about how to disagree agreeably, how to disagree and still be friends. And it was really striking. It was Jay Strack, the founder and president of SLU, had a disagreement with Brent Crow, who Becca mentioned, who is his son-in-law and also the vice president of Student Leadership University. And so they sat on two chairs on the stage and talked about this issue that they disagreed on, and how they could disagree and remain friends and do that in a civil way. I kind of agreed with Dr. J rather than Brent Crow. It was kind of interesting. And so we can have peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others. And notice what's happening here is we have the armor of God on. We apply this armor not to do damage and not to do harm, but one of the things that we're equipped with is the gospel of peace. And sometimes our battle is against other people. I mean, actually, situations that we get ourselves in, that there's clearly spiritual warfare going on, and someone's coming against us, a literal person is coming against us. Listen, we don't get suited up so that we can take the battle and kill them or hurt them. We have the gospel of peace as part of how we're equipped in this spiritual battle. We're not looking to take a life. We're looking to give life by sharing the life-changing message of the gospel in other people's lives. And so the way that we're outfitted, it's not a soldier getting ready to go into battle to win the battle and kill the people. It's how we stand our ground and how we're outfitted with the gospel of peace, that we are God's children. Listen, the war is already won. We don't have to try to win the war. We just have to stand our ground and live in the victory that has already been won for us. Remember, we said this phrase, we don't fight for victory. We're not trying to win the battle. Listen, that's already done. Our group on Sunday night that's studying through the book of Revelation, we know the battle's already done. We have the story of what happens in the end times. We fight from a position of victory. We fight not for victory, but we fight from victory, standing our ground so that we don't lose anything that Christ has already procured for us, that he's already won the battle for. And one of the things he's given us to do that, he's fitted our feet with the gospel of peace that gives us peace with God, with ourselves and others, and it also prepares us so that we're ready for this battle that happens. I'm so thankful for the gospel of peace and how it changes lives and how it is a positive message. Listen, we don't need to go out into our community and wave our fingers and yell at people about all the things that they're doing wrong. We need to go out into our community and say, God loves you. I love you. I'm praying for you. You have the opportunity this afternoon to do that. We love you, and God is willing to forgive you of your sin. Listen, that's a positive message that changes lives. It certainly changed my life. Notice number 5 there on your message notes. The gospel requires action. That speaks to that readiness that comes with the gospel. You get those shoes on. One of the things that I like to do that's kind of funny for me to talk about is I like to run. In a previous time period of my life, I was an avid runner. It's really funny for me to even talk about it now. But there's one thing that happens with running is you have to have the right shoes. If you don't have the right shoes, it's going to mess up your feet. It's going to mess up your knees and whatever. It's an athletic thing, so you have to have the right shoes. And of course, running shoes, if they're good ones, they cost a lot of money. But if you are a runner, it's worthwhile because you're ready to run and you're ready to spend a lot of time on your feet, and it protects your body from the pounding on the pavement and all of that. So just because some of y'all smirked about how funny it is for me to talk about running, I'm going to go out and I'm going to walk tomorrow morning just because of that. I'm going to show y'all I'm not completely out of this game. But the gospel requires action. Because our feet are fitted with the gospel of peace, that requires action, that we're ready and we're ready for something, and we are in the battle. The type of battle that we wage, like we have said, is not to take a life, but to give a life. And so, listen to this verse. This is Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. Now then, How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them, without someone proclaiming the gospel to them? This says, and how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful it is when we take the gospel to someone else, that we not only live in the gospel, but we take it to somewhere else. And so these are some application steps for this morning. We need to receive the gospel. Listen, if there's never been a time in your life that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your feet have not been fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. You don't have access to these other pieces of armor that the believer in Christ does. And so why would you wait another day that you wouldn't trust Christ and give him your life? I shared my testimony as how a 19-year-old young man to surrender my life to Christ, and I was miraculously saved, and God has blessed me. Receive the gospel. It's something that you do. It's not something that you trust in the faith of your parents or your grandparents. It's not something that you are just because you're an American, and our country is sometimes seen as a Christian country. It's not something like that. It doesn't happen automatically. It's something that you choose to do because you realize you're a sinner. You realize that you need to do business with God. You need to ask him for forgiveness, and you need to receive the gospel. And if there's never been a time that that's happened in your life, you need to receive the gospel. The next thing we need to do as we look at the gospel of peace is that we need to live the gospel out. We need to be ambassadors of peace. We need to live as people that have been forgiven, the people that belong to God, that have the belt of truth firmly attached to their lives, that we have the breastplate of righteousness. We need to live it out. Listen, there is some action that's involved here in the armor of God. We put these things on as we act and as we live them out. This isn't just information for us to understand. This is stuff that we apply to our life. We put on these pieces of armor and we live it out wherever we are. So we need to live the gospel. I mentioned last week about preaching the gospel to yourself. We need to do that. And then the last thing we need to do as our feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, is we need to share the gospel. We prayed for our ones today. God has put us in specific spheres of influence throughout this whole community, and there's someone that God would have you share your testimony with, someone that you would share the gospel with, speak a good word for Christ all across this community. Maybe even invite them to church where they can hear the gospel. And also, we have this opportunity this afternoon at 4 o'clock to go out into all the neighborhoods and all the different places that we haven't gone already, and to pray for people and to hang those door hangers and to be a ministry within the community, because sometimes we come up on someone and they're wondering what we're doing. It's clear that we're not the Jehovah's Witnesses or we're not Mormon because of how we're dressed, and I'm okay with that. I don't want to be associated with those other groups. And they wonder what's going on, and we simply say, we're from First Baptist Monticello. We love our community, so we're out in our community praying for our community. And you could even say, is there anything we can pray for you about? I mean, it's a very simple thing that we do as we go out and pray and go. We get into small groups, and we walk around our community, and we pray for the homes and the people that live in their homes, and we hang a door hanger there. It's not a hard thing we do, but it's something that we're doing to get outside of the walls of our church to make a difference in our church. And I've been so encouraged by some of our people that have come out to our other pray and goes and that have been so encouraged by what they did that day, because that's right. It just feels right for us to be out in the community doing what we're doing, and that's exactly why we're doing it. We're not just satisfied with being in here. We want to look out, and we want to minister to them, and that's one of the ways that we can share the gospel. And that, of course, is one of our big four things that we do. We worship, grow, serve, and share. Casey does a great job talking about those four things every Sunday. And so this is our opportunity to share. And this passage of scripture, the gospel requires action. And so those are the things that we can do: receive the gospel, live the gospel, and share the gospel. Now this morning, we're going to do something a little different. Are y'all doing okay? Is everybody all right? All right, there you go. We're going to do something else. It is 11:47, and our musicians are going to come up to the front. And we're going to have an invitation time that's going to last a little bit longer than it normally does. And that's not because I'm expecting, 20 new members of the church today or anything like this. But what we're going to do is we're going to spend an extended time in invitation, and we're going to sing not an abbreviated part of a song, but we're going to spend some time singing, and we're going to spend some time doing business with God. And however God has spoken to you this morning, this next little part of time before we dismiss is a time that you can respond back to Him. Listen, this altar is always open for you to come pray. You can, of course, pray exactly where you are in the seat. I'm going to be up front here at the pew. If you need to make a decision for church membership or baptism or would like for me to pray for you, whatever, this is a time. So what we're doing, and some of y'all got nervous when I said we were going to do something a little different. A red flag went up and y'all started listening. You kind of cruised through the last part of the message, but to change a little something, whoa, what's going on? I don't know. We didn't vote on this or whatever. What we're doing is we are extending the songs that we normally sing so that we can do business with God, and we've got enough time to do it. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. So we don't have to be in a hurry to rush out of here. We can let that kind of simmer and percolate in our life, and we can say, God, thank you for the gospel of peace. It prepares me for battle. And we can spend some time talking to our Heavenly Father during this time and not thinking about everything that happens next. We can spend some time doing that right now. So would you please stand? I'm going to have a word of prayer. And Myron's going to simply play through the song one time. And then we're going to begin singing. And again, this is your opportunity to do business with God right here in the room before we move on to the next thing. So Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the gospel and how it's changed our life. And Father, your Son Jesus is the gospel, and we thank you for everything that you've done for us in Christ. So Father, during these moments, would you help us to connect with you deeply? Would you help us to pray? Would you help us to pray for our ones and our opportunity this afternoon? Father, we want to be your ambassadors. We want to be your children, and we want to be ready with the gospel. So Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.